Greetings to you all, in the name of our Lord, Savior, and King Jesus. I am grateful for the opportunity to stand here before you and tell you what God has done for me. It was a trial to be here today, a light trial by comparison to our history books, even the very history that was first printed here over 250 years ago. If I had stayed in the military, this would have been my 21st year of commissioned service. I was reminded of this as I sat on my first flight from Kansas to Chicago, which should have taken only 2 hours but took 10 due to weather. I was surrounded by military men and women on that flight. All of them were near my age, and all of them had spent roughly 20 years in service, and they were still active. And I had a moment to reflect on the last 13 years since I resigned from the Navy, and a little over 14 years since God found me and gave me a new life. To be clear, I was not a conscientious objector when I separated from the Navy. I would be one today. I do have a story to tell about God causing some radical changes in my life, witnessed by four main changes in values. These all point to the major change of Jesus finding me, forgiving me, and giving me new life and purpose. May this story encourage you all to serve our King all the more as we see the days approaching and look for his return. My name is Kent Odgers. I graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland in May of 2002. I spent the previous 4 years in both academic and military studies, as well as taking part in military training throughout the year and for up to 8 weeks each summer. I've been in airplanes and helicopters, hanging from underneath helicopters, under the ocean waters in ballistic missile nuclear submarines, and riding the waves aboard Navy ships. I was put through the Academy boot camp and in turn put others through this same boot camp. I'm a graduate of the Navy's postgraduate school and have served aboard the flagship for the Second Fleet and at the U.S. European Command headquarters in Stuttgart, Germany. But as Paul would say, I count all this as loss for the sake of knowing Christ. Why join the Navy? Many men, young men and women join the military, but their reasons vary. For some, there is the honor and prestige and respect that comes from wearing the uniform. For others, a sense of duty, and serving one's country brings them in. Some join as a way to see the world, while others join to escape their world. I joined because my dad was in the Navy. Growing up, we were not, as some would call it, a military family. My dad was much older than other dads and had served only 4 years as a naval pilot during the Korean War. I felt no great calling. I had no higher sense of duty at age 18. I joined because my dad was. A question later I'll ask you all to think about. Would you sit here today if your dad was not who he was and where he was? To begin with his boot camp. And I call this, everything is a sermon. It's the name of the process through which the military takes young men and women from a variety of backgrounds and cultures and brings them forth in unity, purpose and cohesiveness, all in the form of a soldier, sailor, airman, or marine. Usually the first half of boot camp is spent with much yelling, more push-ups than you can count, and the indoctrination of military core values. The purpose is to break down the individual, and to that end, no matter what your hair looked like before, everyone shares the same shaved head. The second half of boot camp takes the broken down individuals and builds them up around those core values, teamwork, sacrifice, and a shared purpose. Boot camp changes not just the outside, but the inside too. How you think, and even how you feel. I can remember the time toward the end of boot camp when a black body bag was placed in front of all of us in our unit. A sober sermon was preached by one of the drill instructors about the need to defend our country, with the emphasis on our brother or sister next to us. Then a popular country song, God Bless the USA, was played, and there was not a dry face as we all cried, thinking we couldn't let each other down. The military imbues its members with good principles. Sacrifice, brotherly love, honor, courage, and commitment. But the application of these principles revolve around the defense of this country and the use of force. I'd like to tell you about my journey to Jesus, or maybe how Jesus found me instead. I wasn't looking for him. I can look back and see how much God did help to find me. From moving me to a foreign country and removing all the familiar American crutches. I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. My parents took me to a church, but I never heard sermons preached on repentance, obedience, or on living for a separated kingdom. Years later, my wife and I, we said we were Christians because we went to church sometimes and had a Bible or two that collected dust on the shelf. I was, in fact, a hypocrite who claimed the name of Christian but did not honor Christ as King. One day, a coworker gave me a tract. I'm not sure why he did or how bold he must have been at the time, but I am thankful that he was obedient to God. This tract, which was more like a booklet, had a single illustration on the cover. And if I had a visual here to show you, it would look like a skull with a revolver pointed at its head. And being a visual person that I am, I was drawn to it. I was curious as to what the message was. The message was a difficult one, but it confronted men directly on a specific sin and showed me how horrible my sin was. And this was just one. But it didn't leave me with the guilt and shame only. It also showed me a Jesus that was unlike any Jesus I had heard about before. This Jesus was a mighty, conquering king and was alive and immensely holy and yet deeply cared about me. The only Jesus I had seen before was the weak, effeminate one who was so far off and seemed to care so little about me or what I did with my life. In a way, I felt like Isaiah. In the presence of God, while also feeling that this king wanted me and offered forgiveness and purpose. My wife and I looked up the author of this booklet, found out he was a preacher, and that his sermons were online and available to us. What was once filled with selfishness was replaced with a growing desire to know God more. This particular preacher would say that hard words make soft people, and soft words make hard people. Now, to that end, he had plenty of hard words that broke through my shell of hypocrisy and excuses. Right about the same time as this tract and the sermons and discovering a hunger and thirst for God was another co-worker's invitation to a Bible study. I should probably mention that these co-workers were fellow military officers. So we went, desiring now the community that we had been looking for, and were met by Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I know I'm short on time, so I won't read it all, but we immediately connected with the fact that we were dead to our sins and read the hope of not just being given new life in Christ, but also adoption as sons and daughters of God. This was the beginning of my journey, but I was still not a non-resistant Christian. Nor did I even know what that meant. I mentioned that there were a change of values that happened. The first change of values was what I call the family over career. Reading through the Bible was eye-opening. And one of the first things that God wanted me to change was to value a family over a career. This was also the change in values that brought me to the decision to separate from the Navy. My time in Germany was coming to a close. And so I began talking with my Navy detailer, or the person who handles my schedule and placement. The only option that I was given at this point, which would have been the next necessary step in my career, would be to spend a year in Afghanistan. Working alongside the Army, without a break or time home. It was also at this time that we received the wonderful news that my wife was pregnant with our first child. And he would be born about the same time I would need to leave for Afghanistan. This wasn't a hard decision, though. But it meant a big change in our life as the military takes care of you like mom. And now we were going to be on our own. So I valued the birth of my first son, becoming a father, and seeing the blessings that God has for a family over furthering my own career in the Navy and possibly being a part of that same group that was on my flight. We move forward and I come to the second change in values. Our first move out of the military brought us to this very state, to the city of Pittsburgh for work. It was here that my wife and I sought out community again, and this time followed the Bible in obedience as we read and were baptized. We bought a big brand new home, had two newer vehicles, one was a luxury brand, and continued to save for retirement and build our 401k. And then God brought another writing to me in the form of a book. I was a child in the 1980s, and in the worldly culture of the 80s, with its own language, the word radical was used and meant something really great. I saw a book cover with that word on it and a house upside down. And I bought it without even knowing it, that it was a Christian book. Again, I'm probably drawn to visuals. But in this book, my horizons were expanded to see the church in the rest of the world, and not just in my comfortable American setting. I realized that life was not just to live for the American dream, or even retirement. And both are subjects I have not found in the Bible. And so we began the next set of changes, from selling our home, closing accounts, and getting rid of investments. Our life was not to be lived with security in this world, not if we were members of another country now. Our third change in value. As a new Christian with lots of zeal and no one to help mentor and guide me, I thought that in order to work for God's kingdom, I must work for a Christian company. I have since learned that this is not true. But as a result, we took a leap and moved to Colorado Springs to work for one of the many Christian nonprofit companies there. I was confronted with the same thoughts that I'd first had in Pittsburgh, but it was now blessed by God that it was now blessed by God that you could save for retirement and to hold on to our wealth. I was also told that God had given us the Super Bowl, the final championship game of the NFL, as a blessing, and we can receive it with thanksgiving and partake of it. Here I learned that simple obedience to God's word is simple living. And separating from the ways of the world around us, even ways that look to be endorsed by Christian groups and leaders. We now reach the fourth major change of values and the subject of our meeting today. While we were living in Colorado Springs, my wife's brother, who had spent time as a gunner on an AC-130, an airplane with a tank cannon and other guns mounted on the side of it, he had spent time in Afghanistan and had recently finished his enlistment in the Air Force and was moving near us in Colorado. His first question for us, help me find a non-resistant church. I wanted to help, but I had no idea what that meant. I thought of pacifism, but that's not really close to what Jesus taught. We were attending a Reformed Baptist church at the time, and so I asked the pastor, "What is the deal with non-resistance?" He told me that he had recently written a primer, a short paper on the topic, and proceeded to hand me a primer on just war. Within this writing, he argued that we can show love for our neighbor, and that love compels us to go to war and bring justice to the evildoer. He argued through the Old Testament and from Romans 13. As I had done with previous changes, I searched the Bible for myself, but I didn't need to go very far. Zechariah, John's dad, said in Luke 1:79, to give light to those who sit in darkness and of the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. I then read in Matthew chapter 5 from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. While I did not own a handgun or still support the military, this teaching went beyond mere pacifism and instead shone a light on all of my life, from how I react to someone on the highway, to the grocery store, to my coworkers. What about the man I didn't know, driving an ag sprayer through my lawn to avoid a truck in the road and making a trench in the wet, muddy ground? I confess that I did not react at first as Jesus would, but through the Holy Spirit and my wife, I realized my sin before opening my mouth to the man. Some call it non-resistance. Others call it a way of peace. I'll just call it loving my neighbor and my enemy alike. I want to leave you all with a warning in my encouragement. I work in the field of cybersecurity. It's what I've been doing for the last 18 years. But I'm not a proponent of technology. I sometimes wonder what it would be like if we didn't have smartphones, computers, and other devices. Unfortunately, this has not happened, and we live in a world of so-called smart devices. I want to caution all of you, whether you use technology today or not, or even if you are interested in using it, to be careful. While the boot camp experience ultimately changes the way we think, so does technology. The apps, interactions, and devices are slowly changing the way we think and how we think. We usually call that an influence. And the ironic thing is that people out there who follow others who are called influencers. Influences change the way you think. Then your actions will follow. One other caution is that while we can provide our own support for our CO status, be aware that your digital breadcrumbs can support a claim of CO or the very opposite. Be aware that what you do on the internet, the emails you send, the websites you visit, the Google searches you make, and the apps that you use could be used against you in your desire to be a conscientious objector. I want to last finish with some questions to you all, to ask yourself these. Does your life match your conversion? To my earlier point, would you be an Anabaptist if your parents were not? How do you show respect for your local authorities, police, fire, other elected officials, even those people who are maybe volunteering their own time? Do you know what the Bible says in support of your convictions? Do you really follow all the laws of this nation, or just those that you deem necessary? Obedience is not just when it is convenient. And how do you demonstrate gratitude for the opportunity to be a CO? That's more the question that takes you to that it's your turn to serve. Look around your community and find ways to serve your nation in as many ways as you can within conscience. You are ambassadors of a separate kingdom. In serving our King, we can give back to our host nation and people through programs and community and personal involvement. I have one other thing to add. I have two boys at home who are watching this. They're right now 10 and soon to be 13, but they will be sitting where you are in a short number of years. They will listen to me, but they will watch you. They will watch you and see what you do. See how you live, even when nobody else is looking. Be a good witness for them. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.